Psalms 23. We started, of course, in verse 1. We've been taking a week on every verse, and we've made it to the last verse. Psalms 23, Psalm of David. If you found your place and can, please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word in Psalms 23. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. You may be seated. We've already prayed, so we'll go straight to the message tonight. But just a recap for those that haven't been here, or just a jogging of the memory. But Psalms 23, we started out some 5 weeks ago and talked about how Psalms 23 is probably the most beloved passage to most people, or to a lot of people. It's comfort for the young. It's comfort for the middle-aged. It's comfort for the old. It's comfort for those that may be on their deathbed or those that are discouraged. It's just it's a psalm of David that is beloved by many. We said that the first verse there, "The Lord is my shepherd," that David, being a little shepherd boy, knowing what a good shepherd was, he uses the sheep-shepherd relationship to talk about how good his God is. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. That word "Lord," we said in verse number 1, means Jehovah, self-existent, right, the eternal one. Right. We said it also means the God who is. No matter where in eternity, no matter where in history you point to, he's the God who is. He was the God who is in a Garden of Eden, and a million years from now, he'll still be the God who is. The Lord is my shepherd. The word shepherd, we talked about how in the Hebrew that just doesn't mean to watch or look at sheep. That basically has a stronger meaning. It means one that protects the sheep, right, one that provides for the sheep. He feeds them. He looks after them. It means one that's actively present with the sheep. He's with them all the time. He never lets them go. And then lastly, we said that it's one that purchases the sheep. We said that sheep aren't free. They have to be purchased, and they're expensive. We talked about Psalms 22, how it's the Psalm of the Cross, and we read those verses there about, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We talked about how expensive those sheep were and how high a price he paid for them. John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And that's exactly what he did. He gave his life for his sheep. Then he said, the Lord is my shepherd. That was personal. The David's basically saying, I don't know about the rest of you all. I don't know if he's your shepherd or not, but David's saying, he's my shepherd. And I love him. He's my shepherd. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He said, he's my shepherd. Not only was he my shepherd, but he, in that meaning, it also means that God knows me as well. It's a two-way meaning there. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Then he says, "I shall not want." Means I shall not lack. He said, I may not have everything I want, but I've got everything that I need as long as I have the Lord. I shall not want. He spends the rest of the verses here talking about how it is that he's not going to lack, or how he's not going to want. In verse number 2, he says, "Because I have a shepherd that feeds me and leads me." He says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Those green pastures, we said, were lush, new, fresh places to eat. Said it was symbolic of the Word of God, and how that it's such a lush, deep field that you could never scratch the surface of it. You could eat and eat and eat forever, and you'll never get the whole meaning of the Word of God. It's that deep. He said, "I'll lie down in green pastures." We talked about how that sheep They only lie down under certain circumstances. They have to be safe and they have to feel secure. So David here is saying, he maketh me to lie down. He makes me safe. He makes me secure. And he says, he maketh. We talked about how that's not a forced whipping, making you lay down. You lay down because you're just so satisfied. You're so peaceful that you just want to lay down. Then he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. That word leadeth, we talked about how it means to guide. Not driven, not dragged like cattle. He said, he leadeth to guide. It also means to carry. We talked about that poem, Footsteps or Footprints in the Sand, about how the gentleman said, Lord, at the end of my life, I'm looking back, and you said you'd always be with me, and there was always supposed to be two footprints in the sand. He said, during my hardest times and my deepest sorrows, he said, I look back, and there's only one set of footprints. He said, why did you leave me? And the Lord whispered to him, he said, son, I didn't leave you. That's when I carried you. Amen. Footprints in the sand. He said, carry. That word carry means to lead. Then he said, still waters. Still waters are peaceful, calm, no fear, no care in the world. Not rushing waters, not something that's going to scare them. Peaceful, still waters. Right. So not only did we say that I shall not lack because the shepherd leads and he feeds, but he said in verse number 3, my shepherd guards and he guides. He said in verse 3, he said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That word restore means to return to the place of the beginning. We talked about how that some sheep, if they're not careful, they fall down and they get what they call cast or cast down. And if they don't get rolled back over and put back on all fours, that they're gonna die. And that's return to the place of beginning as he restoreth my soul. Then also we talked about how in 1 Samuel 30, when David came back to Ziklag and all the women and children had been kidnapped and the city had been burned, they wanted to stone David and he had to encourage himself in the Lord. But then the next verse says that David went back to the Amalekites and he recovered all. That word recovered means to restore. Didn't lose anything. Didn't lose one child, one wife. The Bible says that David recovered all, every bit of it. And he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Of course, that path is a way. It's an area that's trodden, not something that we're having to blaze a trail. It's something that's been walked before. We talked about in Hebrews 11, all those heroes of faith that had went this same road before. And it says righteousness, moral rightness. We talked about how God chastens his own. And if there's no chastisement and they're not walking in righteousness, we said there's something wrong. Something's definitely wrong. Then we said, then it says paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name's sake basically means for his glory. For his glory. See the condition of the sheep is a reflection on the shepherd. So everything is, it's all about God. It's all about him. It's all for his glory. His glory. Then we see in verse 4, not only do we see that in verse number 2 that he feeds and he leads. Verse 3, our shepherd guards and guides. Verse number 4 says that he calms and comforts. Yeah. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That valley is, of course, a gorge. It's a low place. It's a representative in the Bible of a place of despair or discouragement. It's a place between two mountains. If you're going from one mountain to the next mountain, you've got to go through a valley to get there. It's a valley, no mountains without valleys. And he says, through the valley of the shadow of death. We talked about how death's not a comfortable topic, not one that we like to talk about, but it's one that we need to become a reality. We said how Spurgeon had a quote on death. His quote was, to be prepared to die is to be prepared to live. Right. To be prepared to die is to be prepared to live. That's death. That's death. We talked about death and how it means the word depart, and there's three meanings for the word depart. We said that it's a nautical term. That means to, if you've got a boat tied up to the deck, to the dock, that you can unloose the knot and let the boat go out into the harbor.
Right.
That phrase, unloose the knot, means to depart. See, for the saint of God, death is just going home.
Going
home. It's not something other than just going home, going back home. We said it's also a military term for men that have been on a foreign soil, fighting the battle, fighting the good fight. Then all of a sudden the war's over and you get word that it's time to return home. That word return means to depart. Pack your bags, boys. It's time to go back home. Return. Then the third term is to remove. It's an agricultural term. You've got an old ox or a mule that'll play on the field all day long, and it's been working hard doing its job. In the afternoon, the owner will come over there, and it'll remove the yoke, remove the harness, take him to the barn, let him eat, let him rest all night long for this good job he's done. Mm-hmm. Remove. Then also we said it's a shadow. It's a shadow. There's no harm from the shadow of a dog. It's not going to hurt you. No shadow. Nobody's going to get shot from a shadow of a gun. It's not going to hurt you. It's just a shadow. And we said that it's a shadow because Christ, the first of the resurrection, has taken the sting out of death.
Right.
He's already been there. We talked about how that he's not going to lead you somewhere where he hasn't been before. He's already been through that valley of death. Then we talked about where there's a shadow, there's a light.
Right.
There's a light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. When you're going through that valley of the shadow of death, you can be sure that there's one that's near you.
Right.
He's with you all the time. Even in and through death, our shepherd is going to be with us.
Yes, sir.
He's with us all the time. He said, also at the end of that verse, he said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That will is a future tense verb. He said, I will fear no evil. He said, David's saying, I don't know what's coming. I don't know what affliction, what harm. I don't know what's coming. But he said, I can tell you this, that I'm not going to fear any evil.
Right.
He said, because shepherd is with me. The good shepherd said, he's with me, so I'm not going to fear any evil. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. He said, I will fear no evil,
right,
for thou art with me. Then last week we talked about not only does he feed and lead, does he guard and guide, and then he calms and comforts, but last week we talked about how he serves and he satisfies.
Amen.
He said, one thing I said in that verse is that there's arrangements. It says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David just says, thou, Lord. He quits talking about his shepherd. He just looks up to him and he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. He said, Lord, you're a good shepherd. You prepare a table for me. That word table is a flat, lush grass. In the song we sing, Higher Ground, it talks about that tableland. I want to go to that higher tableland. Good, lush grass. And he said, you prepare a table for me. We talked about how a good shepherd always goes before the sheep and he prepares the ground that he's going to send his sheep to. We talked about how that in the Middle East, that a lot of times before they send the sheep up to the tableland, they have to go up there first and they have to remove all the poisonous flowers, because the flowers are the prettiest ones, different color, and those are the ones that are going to draw the sheep, but yet those are the ones that are most dangerous. So the shepherd goes up there, painstakingly goes over it with a fine-tooth comb, takes all the poisonous flowers out.
Yeah.
And we also said that he also goes up there and removes all the snakes, all the predators. Lot of work. They said shepherd is always a busy, busy task, always something to be done,
right,
especially if it was a good shepherd, one that loved his sheep. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Not only did we see arrangements in verse 5, but we saw an anointing. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. He used a recipe of oil and salve and honey. And I won't go into the details because I don't want Miss Pascal to be itching tonight. But go through all those, put that salve on all the sheep's face to keep all the bugs away. He said, he anointeth my head with oil. Then we saw abundance. where he just bursted out with praise, and he said, "My cup runneth over."
Yeah.
David said, "My cup runneth over." It's abundance. That word "runneth over" is only used two times in the Old Testament. Once is right here, and the other time is in Psalm 66, verse 12, where David talks about a wealthy place. We're wealthy. We talked about how, whether we know it or not, based on other people in other parts of the world, we're wealthy.
Right.
Our cup runneth over, whether you think so or not.
Right.
Our cup runneth over. We talked about how that even the best shepherd, whenever he was taking his flock to from one mountain to another, even the best shepherds would get into a place to where his sheep would get thirsty.
Right.
And they would need some water before they could make it to the next place. We said what that shepherd would do was he would get in his bag and he would put out his cup, the one that he drunk with, and he would put it water with it, and he would put it up there to them and let them drink. He said a lot of shepherds would just give them just enough to make it to the next place. David said, "Not my shepherd." He said, "My cup runneth over."
Amen.
He said, "It's just full as it can be, and it's running all over." He said, "That's how good God has been to me."
That's true.
So we come tonight to verse number 6, where he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We see here that our shepherd pursues and he keeps. He pursues and he keeps. David's kindly winding down here, the last verse of this psalm, and to thus far he's been talking about what's been going on. He said, "Lord, you leadeth me, you anointeth my head with oil," basically the stuff he's doing now. But David looks ahead. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in my..." He's looking forward. He's looking not to what's going on today. He's looking for ahead to better days.
Right.
He's talking about what's coming to him. So I see three things in this verse. The first thing I see is the pursuit of goodness and mercy. The pursuit of goodness and mercy. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Goodness basically means to lavishly bless, but not with bad things. To lavishly bless with good things. The stuff that we're in need of, the stuff that we don't deserve, but yet lavishly bless. Goodness is going to follow us.
Right.
Of course, Romans 2:4 said, "Knowest not thou that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?"
Mm-hmm.
And we see there's mercy, goodness and mercy. Mercy is loving kindness. It's basically keeping us from getting what we truly deserve. Truly deserve. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how everybody, the watchword today is justice. We want our equal rights. We want justice. But that's not what we need. We need mercy.
Right.
We need mercy. Right. If we got justice, we would all be in hell.
Right.
Mercy is what we need to cry out for. What two things could be better to follow you all the days of your life?
Right.
Goodness and mercy. David looks back. Seems like he's sitting here pondering, and he looks back all the way of his life, and he looks back and he says, "All the way, I see goodness and mercy." At the time, it might not have looked good. At the time, he might have been discouraged and downtrodden. He had to encourage himself in the Lord a lot. But he could only see in that present day what was going on. Now, he's a veteran king. He's looking back at all those times, no doubt, that Saul was after him, and his own son Absalom was after him. He can look back and he could say, "Yeah, I thought that was bad. But looking back now, I can see that it was good.
Right.
I thought that God was mistreating me. I thought he was holding something back from me. But I can see now that it all worked out for good."
Yes, sir.
It all worked out all the way my Savior leads me.
Guaranteed.
In the absence of goodness and mercy, what would we see if we look back behind us? David said, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me." It's almost like he's saying, "Surely" is almost like a verily, truly. Sure, goodness and mercy, they followed me thus far. They've been with me all the way. So surely it's going to follow me all the days of my life. So if David could say it, we ought to be able to say the same thing. Surely goodness and mercy have followed us all the days of our life. Had it been not for goodness and mercy, looking back, what would you see? You would see hopelessness. There would be no hope without goodness and mercy. There would be all kinds of misery, destruction, hatred, had it not been for goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life. But God, we didn't deserve it. It was mercy. We didn't deserve it. It was goodness. But God set His eyes on us and give it to us anyway.
Right.
What a good shepherd. That word follow, He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That word follow is not a passive verb, like I'm just going to follow somebody. I'm going to stand way back and I'm going to follow them to see where they go. It's not a passive verb. It's an aggression verb. It means to run after, to chase, to hunt down. In Joshua 8:16, we know the story of the battle of Ai. And they went in and they fought the city of Ai, and they thought, oh, surely we can beat this little old city here. They don't have as many men as what we've got. But there was sin in the camp. Achan kept some of those things back for him that he wasn't supposed to get. So they went into Ai and they got beat. 36 men lost their lives that day. And Joshua prayed to God, and he said, God, I don't want to go in again until you tell me to. So God gave him a plan. He said, what I want you to do is, he said, we're gonna set in an ambush behind the city of Ai. Then he said, a group of the Israelites are going to come out, and then as soon as the men of Ai start coming out, we're going to flee, and every one of them is going to follow us, and then those people behind the city are going to come around, and we're going to get them right in the middle. And that's exactly what happened. But in Joshua 8:16, it says, and all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after the Israelites. That word pursue is the same word as follow in Psalms 23:6, where he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Basically, surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. But it's not, the good news is you're not being pursued by an enemy. You're being pursued by goodness.
That's good.
And by mercy.
Yeah.
God could sick an enemy on you,
yeah,
but He's so merciful that instead of an enemy, you're being pursued right now by goodness and mercy. What a good shepherd. What a good shepherd. Goodness and mercy. I was reading a commentary. I can't remember if it was Spurgeon or not, but they talked about every good shepherd, not necessarily in the olden times, but here in today's day and in the 1800s, every good shepherd usually has some sheepdogs. They might not have a bunch, but they normally got at least one or two sheepdogs. What Spurgeon said is that these sheepdogs, what they were used for was, of course, if a shepherd's out front, he's leading, he's not looking back all the time, he's just heading on. He said those sheepdogs, their job were to stay back behind, and every time a sheep got out of line, tried to go in another way, that sheepdog would go around, do an end around, and he would line them back up.
Yeah.
Spurgeon said, two of the best sheepdogs ever is goodness and mercy.
Right.
He said there was the two of the best ever. He said, you get out of line a little bit, and you think you're doing something good, but it's the wrong way. He said, all of a sudden, goodness will come around and flank you on the other side, and they'll get you back in line.
Amen.
You think you're doing bad, or think you're had enough, and you're just going to give up, and then here comes mercy around the other side. They're going to flank you, and they're going to get you back in the fold.
Yeah, amen.
He said two of the best sheepdogs you ever seen was going to be goodness and mercy. And like I said, if not for goodness and mercy, what two things had you rather have after you right now than goodness and mercy?
See,
goodness is a providing word. Goodness is giving you things that we don't deserve. Psalms 27:13, David here, a psalm of David, says, I had fainted unless I had believed the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Right.
He said, if it hadn't been for the goodness of God, he said, I'd have fainted. But he said, goodness, it come around the other side and flanked me, got me back in the fold, and I've been there ever since.
Amen.
The goodness of God. Mercy. Goodness provides, but mercy, it pardons.
Yeah.
Mercy pardons. Psalms 13:5, again, David, a psalm of David, he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. David said, Lord, I'm going to trust in your mercy. It's all I can do. I'm going to fall on the mercy of the court, and I'm gonna trust in your mercy. I'm gonna trust in your mercy. Goodness and mercy, like two good sheepdogs keeping us in line.
Right.
Then David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Days speaks of shortness of time. Shortness of time. He didn't say, Lord, you're going to be with me all the months of my life. He didn't say all the years of my life. And he didn't even say all the decades of my life.
Right.
He said, Lord, you're going to be with me all the days of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Speaks of shortness. Shortness. But it also speaks of variety. Variety. See, by saying a days, every day brings something different. Said His mercies are new each morning, each day. It's new all the days of my life, not just the good days. David said, you're going to be with me all of my days, not just the good days and not just the bad days, but you're going to follow me all the days of my life. He said, you're going to be right there behind me. He said, pursuing me, chasing me down, hunting me down is going to be goodness and mercy all the days of my life.
Right.
So not only in this verse do I see the pursuit of goodness and mercy, but I see the prospect of a heavenly home.
Yeah.
The prospect of a heavenly home. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Dwell means to inhabit, to live, to remain there. It's not like today when you have a lease and you've got only got 6 months or a year or 2 years. Or he said, no, I'm going to dwell. I'm going to dwell. I'm going to inhabit it. I'm going to remain there forever.
Right.
Psalms 27:4 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David said, that's the one desire that I have. He said, that I would seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, that's what I'm after. I'm after dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And it's not like today, a lot of people just want heaven and they don't even know really what heaven is. If you took the Lord out of heaven, it wouldn't even be heaven. And a lot of people don't even mention that. They just think they want to go to heaven to see their family. But David said, I want to go so I can dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. It's not so much that we dwell in his house, because if you dwell with somebody, they're going to be there also. David says, I want to go dwell in your house, Lord, because you're going to be there. Speaks of intimacy. He said, Lord, I want to be there. I want to spend forever with you. I want to get to know you. He said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. Revelation 21, verse number 3, said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
Right.
Said, I'm going to dwell with them. God said, I'm going to be right there with them forever, all the days of your life. If they're my people, if they're my sheep, I'm going to be right there with them. I'm going to be right there with them. John 14, verse number 1 through 3. John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Has to do with being with God.
Right.
Being with God forever and ever. We see a pursuit. We see a prospect of heaven. But then we see a permanency. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. Amen.
Forever. See, this is the end of Psalms 23. That word forever is the last word. But for the saints of God, it's just the beginning.
Amen.
Dwelling in the house of the Lord, it's an end here, but up there, it's just the beginning.
That's true.
I remember the last time I saw Brother Price. Of course, he seemed to always be in bad health, you know.
Yeah. Has been.
And but he told me, he said, last time I saw him, he said, if you ever hear that I died, he said, don't feel sorry for me. He said, when I was born, when I took my first breath, I started to die. He said, every breath brought me closer to death. He said, I've been dying ever since. But he said, when I die, I'll take my first breath in glory. He said, so don't worry about me. He said, I'll be all right. And that's the way it is for the saint of God. 2 Corinthians 5:8 said, absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There won't be any more wandering like sheep. There won't be any more being a stranger. Won't be any more being a pilgrim. You'll be home.
Right.
You'll be home. And David said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Right.
Forever. At the end of the road, looking back, David looked back and he's writing all this and he said, Lord, you're going to be with me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me.
Right.
But he's looking back, and I could just think him admiring his good shepherd. How good that shepherd had been to him all these years. How just at the end of the road, he just burst out in praise in Psalms 84, verse number 10. He said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
That's right.
I believe David, looking back, he knew good, he knew bad. He was the king. He could have been involved in anything he wanted to. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in thy house than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Right.
Basically,
right.
just like Moses, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He decided to go after the right, to go after God. That's the way David was.
Right.
For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
That's right. That's right.
I believe if you ask David, if you could talk to him today, he would say, well, he sure is a good shepherd. He was the best. I was a good shepherd myself when I was growing up. But he was far, far better than I was.
Oh, yeah.
He was the best shepherd. He's his love, care, and protection. I believe he would brag on the good shepherd, the good shepherd. And this is just these six verses here is just a drop in the bucket about his goodness,
right.
How he leads and he feeds and how he guards and he guides and he calms and he comforts. Seems like every facet of our life, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're facing, no matter what stage of life we're in, if we're young, middle-aged, old, doesn't matter. This psalm could be for you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Something that you could ponder and meditate on. And as you think on it, say, oh, Lord, I long for you to be my shepherd. You're a good God. If he's not your shepherd, May this cause you to long for him and for him to seek after him so that he can be your shepherd.
Right.
David said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Yes, sir.
And like I said, that ended Psalms 23
right.
For David. But that word forever wasn't the end. That was just the beginning. And for the saints of God, when they close their eyes in death, it's not the end. It's just the beginning for them. So I'll close like I do, or like I have every Psalms 23 night. says, is he your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Can you say that about all those verses that, oh, Lord, yes, you restore me. You lead me, Lord. You calm and comfort me, Lord. If you can't, do you long for him to be your shepherd? Do you want him to be your shepherd? Seek after him. Seek after him. Like David, David only had one desire. He said, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of my Lord all the days of my life.
Amen.
It's about priorities. David said, that's the only thing I want. I'm going to make it the top priority of my life.
Right.
And then he was able to close his eyes in death. And he opened his eyes, took one breath in eternity. So is the Lord your shepherd? Do you want him to be your shepherd? If not, seeking. So Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord. Lord, I thank you for the day. Lord, I thank you for Psalms 23. I thank you for that shepherd and sheep relationship, Lord, and it's so good. And Lord, David expressed it so perfectly, Lord. He was a shepherd. He knew exactly what he was talking about. So when he said you were the good shepherd, when he said you led and you made him lie down in green pastures, and Lord, goodness and mercy followed him all the days of his life, Lord, he knew what he was talking about. So Lord, I pray that it would make us thirst after you. And Lord, we want you to be our shepherd, and Lord, just to strive and to seek after you and to get our priorities right and to make the main thing, Lord, as we're coming up on this meeting. And Lord, I pray that you'll just, along with the preachers, Lord, I pray that you'll come and visit us, Lord, and that you'll come and you'll just grab a seat, and Lord, that you'll just speak to people that week, and that you'll touch. And Lord, I pray that you'll just make everything a reality to us. The things that we've heard all these years and the things that we've been taught, Lord, make it just fall on us and be a reality, Lord. That's what we need. Lord, you're able. I just pray that you would do it. Lord, if it not tonight, Lord, like I said, it'd be Sunday morning, and if not Sunday morning, Sunday night. But Lord, we're looking for you to do something. We're expecting it. Lord, I just can't wait for that day. And I just look forward to it. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us throughout the rest of the week. Lord, help us to, even when we're at work, Lord, may we think about how that goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our life, and that surely it's going to follow us the rest of the days of our life, Lord, if we're one of yours. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just, even at work, that you'd speak to people, and even when they're out and about or at home or wherever, I pray that you would still speak. And Lord, just help us Sunday as we come. Help me to prepare for Sunday. And Lord, may you give me what the people are most in need of that'll help them, and that it may help me as well, Lord. I need it too. And I pray that you'll just help all of us. Lord, we need you.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you'll just go with us now throughout the remainder of the week. Lead, guide, and direct, and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.